Good evening and welcome to Hill News Radio on KSLU. I'm Bobby Baird.
I'm Joey Duggan.
I'm Charlotte Crawford.
And here's tonight's news. Joey Duggan is going to talk with Ellie Lucas, the managing editor, about Beta Temple restoration.
Charlotte will be talking with Emma Cummings Kruger, the editor-in-chief of the Hill News.
And Bobby's going to talk with photography editor Amanda Brooks.
So tune in for this special issue about the editors of the Hill News. Here's some sweet tunes. How about that, James Brown? It's so great. Mother Popcorn, we're off to Joey.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here with Ellie Lucas, and she recently has written a piece on the construction of the Beta Temple. Now, Ellie, the Beta Temple has recently undergone some revamping, as it is. The people in Beta that you've talked to must be pretty excited about that, huh?
Yes, they are. Thank you, Joey, for having me. I recently spoke with John Pontius, a graduate of the class of 2010. And during John's tenure at St. Lawrence, the Beta Temple itself was in a relative state of disrepair. Over the last 5 years, it has undergone significant improvements, notably over the summer. The temple was completely renovated. New marble was put on the outside. Windows, stained glass windows were restored, and the interior has been completely redone with wood paneling, and the Beta Theta Pi insignia is even illuminated in the walls. So of the current chapter members that I've spoken to, yes, they are extremely excited.
So, Ellie, did you get a chance to see the inside?
No, I haven't. I have not looked. It's closed.
So you must be pretty excited to see it.
I am. I'm looking forward to the ceremony on Saturday afternoon, 4:30. There will be a grand opening with President Fox. He will do a presentation on what Beta means to our campus and with many current Beta members and some alumni present as well.
That sounds awesome. I don't want to give too much away about the article, but I'm curious about all the old boy mythology that's sort of gone into the Beta Temple and even your article itself. Do you think this helps add to the appeal of fraternity life in general and the Beta Temple more specifically?
Yes, I do. And I also, when I was talking to John Pontius, I too was very curious in the sort of mythic nature of the Beta Temple. Here at SLU, we hear myths all the time about the Beta Temple, that there's a tunnel underneath connecting the temple and 25 University, that the ATO fraternity built Vilas Hall to block Beta's view of the quad. There are all these sorts of myths surrounding it, and I think this restoration process will definitely bring Beta as a fraternity back into the spotlight a little bit more as a more notable institution at SLU, and hopefully those myths can kind of keep going along with the new face of Beta.
But I understand they're opening the temple to the whole public, correct?
Yes, that's my understanding as well. Currently, the temple is in use with the ritual studies class, and administration has also made the temple available for public events.
That's pretty exciting.
It is. I think it'll be a great addition to the campus.
And it sure will help integrate Beta and the rest of the community.
I think that's the goal. I spoke with Nate Brown, class of 2017, and he felt that the temple restoration has not only brought the chapter much closer together as it's provided them with a new space, but has also become a more opening presence to campus for the Beta fraternity.
This whole thing is pretty exciting. I have one final question for you, Ellie. Do you think there is a tunnel?
I believe in ghosts, and I'll end with that. And I do think if there were ghosts at St. Lawrence, they would live in the Beta tunnel.
That sounds great. Be sure to catch Ellie's article on the Beta Temple restoration in this week's Hill News.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was Ellie Lucas talking with Joey Duggan about the Beta Temple. And hey guys, it's homecoming weekend, so here's a little song about that. True to Your School by the Beach Boys, a classic for homecoming weekend. All right, I'm here now with Charlotte, who's going to take it away.
Hi, everyone. You're still listening to the Hill News Radio with Kay Slew. I'm here with Emma Cummings Krueger, class of 2016. She's the editor-in-chief of the Hill this year. Say hi, Emma.
Hi, Charlotte. So excited to be here.
So, Emma, for our listeners, why don't you give us a little bit of background on your experience in news writing and producing? Why are you qualified for the position?
Well, I was the editor-in-chief of my high school newspaper, so I got to SLU already knowing that that was something that I was really interested in. So I began writing fall of my freshman year as a news writer, and also a little bit in features. I actually can't remember at this point, but I dabbled around into the different sections. And then by second semester of freshman year, I was the sports editor, which at that time was only one page because we've expanded since. But moving into sophomore year, I was chief copy editor for a semester. And then I moved up to news editor. When I went abroad, I was the off-campus correspondent for a time and then returned back to news editor for my junior spring. And then this year I moved up to editor-in-chief from those positions.
You're such a Rory Gilmore. For those who don't know, that's a Gilmore Girls reference.
Look it up.
Popular TV show. Yep, we love it in our house. Emma's my townhouse member. Why don't you also tell us a little bit about why you like The Hill? What is sort of special about it to you?
Well, I think it's definitely a place that I've really grown in my writing skills, but also people skills, working with administration to get quotes, working with other students to kind of peer edit and different things like that. It's a really special atmosphere where you're able to write without the kind of pressure of a grade. You can kind of experiment with your own voice and kind of find that that cohesive voice between news and features and just kind of what The Hill is and what we want, how we want to represent St. Lawrence.
So speaking of the skills that you sort of learned in your time here working on The Hill, what would you say your sort of plans are in terms of applying those in your professional life after graduation?
Well, I definitely want to pursue writing as a career, maybe in journalism context, but also maybe in public relations. I haven't really decided at this point, but I think in either case, it's really important to both know how to be a strong writer, but also to work with people. And like I said before, working with my peers on the Hill and then also the faculty has probably been as big a piece as the writing for me. As an English major, I definitely get enough writing in the classroom, but the interactions that I have in the office and just out on assignments for stories is something that I really haven't gotten anywhere else except for the Hill.
So the faculty advisor for the Hill, Uri Kittler, I think that's who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually my advisor, my personal PCA advisor. Would you say that he's absolutely the worst person to work with in the world? Or
Yeah, definitely sucks.
Yeah. Anyway, he's in the studio, so I hope he heard me.
Hey, Uri.
Anyway, from what I understand, Emma, previous editors-in-chief, every year you guys choose to focus on one specific area of the Hill that you wish to sort of expand on or improve upon. What have you chosen?
Well, I really kind of saw an opportunity as a student newspaper. I know that a lot of times we're treated kind of as a professional newspaper just in terms of like the quality that's expected of us on campus, but there's really a learning curve with the newspaper. I know at the club fair when we're recruiting, a lot of people will say, I'm not qualified to write, I've never written before, but that's actually who we love to work with because that learning curve is really rewarding to see, but also somebody that I think could really gain the most from working on the Hill. So we love to have kind of new writers coming in and wanting to learn about maybe journalistic writing rather than like essays and things like that. So I really wanted to focus on education because it's a school newspaper and you should always be learning at wherever you can at college. So I think I want to focus on really the training of those journalistic qualities in writers and then also our editor training to make sure that the editors spend so much time on the pages, and I want to make sure that that process is as seamless and efficient as possible for them. And just in terms of moving forward, that everyone feels really confident moving into their positions. So,
right. I mean, being that people are only here for 4 years, I'd imagine that you guys have quite a bit of turnover in terms of your writers and your editors. So I would imagine that training is pretty essential.
Yeah, it definitely is. And even I think this coming semester will be more turnover than last year, even just with everybody going abroad. So many of our page editors and editorial staff and even our like business managers are juniors and are juniors, so they'll go abroad pretty frequently, and it's not uncommon to have editors leave and come back.
So would you say that sort of managing your personnel and sort of keeping all of that interest and I don't know, flow, I guess, and involvement, would you say that that's your biggest challenge that you're facing this year, or would you say that it's something else?
I think it is, but not necessarily at an editorial level, but more at a writer level. It's always really difficult when you are looking to replace page editors, trying to find whatever writer you feel like is really strong enough in terms of kind of moving up to an editorial position. And I think we've had a lot of sporadic interest throughout the year, but I think we haven't really gotten our core staff down yet, and that's always kind of feeling very uncertain early off in the semester to not really know like who is going to take a story assignment or who can be your go-to writer, and not really to have those people if you have an important assignment for those purposes. So just I think it'll be a process definitely moving into the second semester and later this semester, but just getting that writing staff that we feel really comfortable with and that they are really dependable and we always know that we're going to get our stories nailed down is just a peace of mind that I think is really important.
So you guys are pretty much always looking for and recruiting writing staff.
Just absolutely, yeah.
Giving you a little plug there. Wink,
yep.
Wink, nudge, nudge to all the millions of listeners out there.
Absolutely. Crowds of people. Stop by Student Center 305.
Yeah, hordes of them all looking. I just had a question in my mind and I forgot it. You being sort of so enthusiastic about the newspaper, do you have a specific part of the newspaper that you're so excited to see every single week when it comes out on Friday? Or is there sort of a favorite part to you about working on the paper in general?
Actually, I'd say on Fridays, I'm mostly nervous when I go to the stands and just make sure that the front photo isn't foggy. Sometimes the photos do not look like what we saw last, so sometimes it's kind of just rolling the dice to see what pops up in the stands. But so that's definitely what I'm looking for on Fridays, just making sure that everything came out the way that we remember it and sent it in. It's so late when we submit the pages that sometimes you forget that a line didn't make it between two articles or something like that. So just all those little things, making sure that it all got put together in the way that you remember and expect it to. But I think my favorite actually would be the Monday pitch meetings when we go over article assignments. Our editorial staff this semester is really vocal with one another about kind of just different story ideas. Even if it's not for their section, sports can pitch to opinions if they want, or any section can pitch to any section story ideas and kind of build off maybe leads that they could follow. And it's been a really nice dialogue in those meetings. So I think watching those ideas flow has been really good. And then we're also able to kind of cross off the articles that we had planned to write that ended up getting published, and we've had a pretty good success rate of being able to just cross off and check those articles that we have had ambitions to write. So we're definitely getting enough participation, I think, to get done with the ones that we really value.
That's awesome. And I think that sort of the most important thing for everybody to realize is how much work really goes into getting this out on the stands every single week. That's definitely something that people don't really, sort of keep in mind. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important for everyone listening to know that we're looking for more people to be involved in the process, anyone who's willing to write and is interested in it. I know a really great teacher. Her name is Emma Cummings Kruger.
Absolutely, yeah. We're always looking for more, like I said, the writers to come in and show that dedication about moving up to editorial positions. But even just the jobs that you wouldn't really think of, like our copy editors are some of like the most important part of the editorial process. They go through and check out all the commas and all those little tiny things, and I think that's a very thankless job. So them especially, I'm so grateful for, but also the page editors spend hours on layout. Amanda will edit all the photos that we go through. So everything like that you don't really even think of. Just people managing the ads that come in and out and the requests that have to be sent to the printer. There's so many jobs that kind of fly under the radar and that people don't really notice. So I think definitely there's a lot of opportunity to move into different sectors too.
Very, very cool. So this is just a little moment of snaps and thanks to all of those people who worked so hard. I'm looking at Ellie Lucas right now. She's in the other room to get the paper on the stands.
Yeah, God, they're all so great.
Everyone's so great. And Bobby and I just kind of sit here and we're like,
We just talk.
Yeah, we just
talk. We don't do anything.
At each other.
Sometimes Charlotte washes the dishes at our house.
Sometimes.
That's the only time when I'm of any use to Emma.
Does she not do it a lot?
I don't do it. Emma doesn't ever do it.
Emma hasn't
washed a dish in her life.
All right. Well, that was great. That was Charlotte talking to the editor-in-chief of the Hill News, Emma Cummings Kruger. What a great interview. We're going to cut to some music again. You may know this one. It's a St. Paul tune, something like that. Yeah. St. Paul and the Broken Bones with Call Me Maybe. I'm here with Amanda Brooks. We're going to talk about photography. How you doing, Amanda?
Good, Bob.
I just want to remind everyone that this is Hill News Radio on KSLU. So Amanda, what's it like being the what's your title? What is your title?
I am the photography editor at the Hill News.
Oh, that's cool.
Plain and simple.
What is that? What do you do?
You know, I assign photography assignments based on the articles that we get every Monday. And then I get those photos from my photographers and I edit them and help the editors place them into the paper every week.
So you assign photographers, you send them out?
Yeah, so we get the articles on Monday evening, and then we kind of brainstorm with the editors some good photos that would help the article. And then I email my photographers, and we have a little meeting, and we talk about what they should photograph. And then they go out into the world, and they photograph those things.
So do you do some of the photographing at all?
I do some of it. If an assignment isn't too popular, then I get to do it myself.
Only if it's not popular.
Only if someone doesn't want to do it.
So
yeah.
What? Give me an example of a.
A lot of times things downtown. The other day I had to go take a picture at the Planned Parenthood for an upcoming article tomorrow. No one really wanted to go downtown to take it, so I just took a little stroll.
Really?
Downtown. Yeah.
I was expecting, like, you know, crawling through, like, you know, a sewer or something like that. Just walking down town. People won't do that.
I mean, yeah, we're busy. Everyone's busy, but it was fun. It was good.
You gotta make time for it.
Yeah, documentary photography or journalistic photography is a little different. You really gotta plan out things, I guess.
It is much different. So how did you get your start as a photographer at the paper?
At the paper? So freshman fall, I joined the paper as a photographer, staff photographer, and the current, or the editor at the time, was going abroad in the spring, and I was really the only one who showed up to meetings, so she was like, do you want to be the editor?
And she was like, can you do this, please?
Yeah,
could you please do this for me?
Yeah, so I did, and I started that spring and have been there ever since.
And now you're going abroad.
Yes, I am.
Are you looking for, have you found a replacement?
I have not yet. I'm debating. I have a couple in mind.
You have a couple in mind. Well, hey, everyone listening in, if you want to be the next managing photography manager?
Photography editor.
Photography editor, talk to Amanda.
Yeah, could use someone.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Amanda, what's like the weirdest photo you've ever had to take?
Oh man, for the paper?
For the paper. Let's stick to the paper. I don't want to know what you do outside of.
Oh yeah, you don't want to know that. Okay, yeah. Weirdest photo I've ever had to take. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. But I'd say sometimes when I have to take pictures of people, like downtown. Sometimes.
Okay. Elaborate. Tell me, like shady people. Like just regular.
Just like, well, I guess not. It's not the weirdest photo I've ever taken. But just like when you have to take a picture of someone that you don't know, and you have to, you know, introduce yourself and not be weird about it.
Yeah.
Very humans of New York.
Yes.
Very humans of New York.
Definitely. Getting over that awkwardness.
That awkwardness.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you're more connected to the Canton community?
Yeah. I'd say it's definitely gotten me out there. As when I first started as editor and I had to like still go out and take pictures, I was so nervous. Like going to places, I've had people tell me they're gonna break my camera if they took a picture of them.
Jeez,
like,
break her camera?
Yeah,
what?
No, it's crazy. Yeah, so I guess just getting over the nervousness of journalistic photography, going to events, and I think my freshman year, I went to the senior like slideshow. They have like speakers and stuff, and I felt so awkward being there. Like I was like, I'm a little freshman.
Like, I'm in the back. I got my camera.
I shouldn't be here, but I am. But yeah. So what
kind of camera do you use? Is it like a legit camera or just like an iPhone or?
I have a Nikon, DSLR. Yeah. So.
Wow, that sounds high tech. Charlotte, does that sound high tech?
I mean, compared to my cracked iPhone, yeah, it sounds pretty high tech.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Yeah, the quality of iPhone photos never really work for the paper. They just don't print out well. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll remember that. Listeners, writers, people that would like to take photos for the paper, don't use your iPhone. because it'll look bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't look too great. But you can always borrow a digital camera.
Oh.
NCAT rents them out.
NCAT?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a, you know.
Sorry, even the iPhone 6 pictures don't come out well?
No, not really. Yeah.
Damn, Apple.
They make them really small. Yeah. And just
come on. You and I were told this summer that like an iPhone was fine.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was for online content, though.
Oh, that's much different. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, really. I'm working with sort of the dregs of phone society here, so I can't really comment.
Not good.
All right, so one last question. I asked you about your weirdest photo. What's your, like, best photo that you just, like, look back, you've kept the issue, you're like, oh, my God.
Definitely Spring Fest last year with Rubble Bucket and the Chainsmokers.
Oh, I think I saw that photo.
Yeah, the front page.
Full page.
Yeah.
Great photo.
Yeah, Amy Yao helped me combine those photos and make it into a seamless front page. But I don't know, it was just so fun taking pictures at, like, Rubble Bucket. I don't know if you remember that, but...
What's that like? Like, being in that giant crowd?
Oh, it's so fun.
People all around you?
It's so fun. Yeah, I mean, you're up front a little bit, so you don't have to worry about people, like...
Oh, do you get to be on the other side of the gate?
Yeah, I get to be on the
other side of the gate. Oh,
that's pretty cool. I have a pass and everything.
Oh, you have a press pass?
Yeah,
we should get on that. We should get on that.
I don't know what I would use that for, but yeah, let's get on it anyway.
Podcasting in the field.
Yeah, we podcast in the field. We can take our little
handheld recorders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. RO5s.
Very cool. Let's get on it.
All right. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So we're going to cut to some music, but I just want to remind the listeners again that this is the Hill News Radio on KSLU. Here's some Odyssey.
Told me the truth even if it really hurt, cause you knew what I was worth. When you let me borrow money that you didn't really have, cause you knew what I was worth. When I was at my worst, you would tell me I would blow when I thought that I would burst. Told me how to help others and through that discover how to put myself first. And here we are again just confronting fears. Whether pain or gain is a bunch of tears. Blood, sweats, and tears probably disappear when smoke starts to clear. They resistance near. Pay attention to the folks who are fan of the flames. They're the ones who matter most in the gravity game. When stakes weigh you down and they stay around to pick up pieces and you off the ground. That's love. That I seldom ever took, but your head never shook.
That's love.
Both knowing you were right, never shook a living right, just gave me that look.
That's love.
When I had to learn the hard way and you would let me fall, but never did it out of spite.
That's love.
You told me never burn a bridge if you build it and you need it, whether river or brook. And here we are again and across the path. Darwin's our friendship strongest last, but our strength lies in our first thoughts to laugh at the things that bring most hurt hearts to clash. Walk past the bowl, beef bouts and bros, passive pettiness, blame games and all. Had a few deals, time out to chill, but knowing what you need, space means you're filled with love. $1 million or the bottom of a bottle or a car, I never cheated it before. So you started with the I don't need it, all I need is money. You can give it to me, but you never get it from me. Yeah, you refused to play, but you were still in the game. Like it or not, let me explain. Now see, there's a tough kind, a too much kind, a not enough kind, a rather rush kind, and the abrupt kind, a go nuts kind, a hold up. Maybe we should take a slow kind, or when you know kind. It started off as friends, but then over time began to show kind. And if we love each other, we can't stay together. We'll do worse, the better gotta go kind, and that's love.
Love.
That is Love by Odyssey. I'm not sure how you say that. Odyssey. So, Charlotte.
Bobby.
How about that podcast or radio show? Whatever we just did. What are we
the one that we
now?
Just did? I think let's go with podcast for now and see where we end up.
I think podcast is the way to go. So let's talk news. How about, hey, Paul Smith. It's not going to be the Joan Weil Paul Smith anymore.
Tell me about the Paul Smith thing, because honestly, I'm not really up on it yet.
Okay, so I remember over the summer, when we were at the radio station, everyone was freaking out about this. This donor, Joan Weil, wanted to put her name on the college. So it would
the
become,
college.
Yes, so it would become the Joan Weil Paul Smith College.
Okay.
Now, Paul Smith is a very historic name in the Adirondacks, and I believe the school, a lot of supporters of the school and in the community were just outraged when they found out about this.
Interesting. I mean, honestly, I may have not been at NCPR when this went down. It might have been my 21st birthday.
It may have been your... How was that weekend?
Was that a weekend?
Fun weekend?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, anyone's 21st birthday is the worst.
I remember picking you up from Ogdensburg, and our drive back, you weren't very responsive. You were a little...
I can't imagine why that would have been.
No, I can't either.
But anyway, Paul Smith's.
So the court today, the state court, ruled that they just denied it. So they denied the name. We're not sure if Joan Weil is
now. Forever.
Now it's just Paul Smith's.
Indefinitely until further notice.
Think about all of the T-shirts that they would have had to change.
It's a lot of T-shirts.
It's
probably
a lot
some
of t-shirts.
Baseball caps too.
Right, and then the name like Joan Weil, JWPS. Like what?
It doesn't sound. It sounds like the worst. So I think that I think that the right decision was made.
Definitely.
Right. In other news. How about that sewage, everyone, in the studio? It's just me and Bobby and two other weirdos.
Yeah, two weirdos, but they're good weirdos. They're Hill News editors.
There's an article about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, is there an
that's
article?
What I'm
really?
That's what I'm saying. That sewage, look out for the article about the sewage.
Who wrote that this week?
Page 2. Who wrote it?
Opinion section.
Opinion section.
The opinion
page
section.
Page 2.
Right, page 2. I know the most recent development was Ottawa was not very happy that Montreal wanted to.
Yeah, no,
dump.
They're sort of being the cock block, right? Am I right?
Yes, that's one way of putting that.
That
yes,
is the,
they are
that's
being the
official
block.
Term, I believe.
I think that kind of works because I think the Quebec people aren't being too nice by wanting to dump all this sewage.
I mean, yeah,
all over the St. Lawrence.
I was actually just having a conversation about this today. Was I? Or was that yesterday? I don't know. But people are pretty up in arms about it here. I mean, we have quite a few people on this campus who are very concerned and very passionate about the environment, and it's been a pretty big subject of conversation.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it actually came up in an environmental class I had, an environmental literacy class today. We were asking our professor, like...
Matthew Theobald wrote it.
He wrote, sorry, Matthew...
Theobald.
Look out for that. Page 2,
page
opinion
2,
section.
Page 2, opinion section. Yes.
How about that?
We got it.
Yeah, so...
The internet.
News. What are you doing this weekend, Charlotte? Plans?
This weekend, Bobby, this weekend is homecoming. Let me tell you about homecoming weekend. Emma and I live in a townhouse, and we have double our capacity at our... Well,
also
at least...
probably double fire code.
At least, yeah. Well, don't tell them that.
I don't hear anything about fire code.
Anyway. Yeah, we've got about, I think... I mean, 6 people live in a townhouse. We're going to have 12 to 13 at any given time, I think. No, because Rachel has 2 people. Yep, 12 to 13. So
this is all sleeping
townhouse. All people sleeping,
I
mean, yes.
Can't confirm, but that's the plan.
Can't confirm or deny.
Who knows where the chips will fall Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
What are you guys going to do? Like hockey game, football game?
Those sound great. I actually hadn't given it much thought. We've got quite a few people in the house who are working on their midterms, so it's going to be we're going to be running a tight ship for the next 36 hours.
7 hours,
okay.
Wow, that's no fun. I have a huge paper to write too. I feel you.
You should write your paper. I'm heading to the bar crawl a little later tonight.
Oh, the bar crawl.
Yep, the bar crawl.
Oh.
Canton bar
Do you
crawl.
Want to talk briefly about that, and then we can kind of close?
It's like starting right now.
It is starting
Is it starting right now? Well, hey, if you are listening, to this right now, which we know you're not.
If you're 21, get up.
If you're 21, get on up.
And come to Pub 56.
Go to the Ball Crawl. So I just want to remind everyone.
Get a free T-shirt.
Get a free T-shirt. Pub 56.
If you get there before 7.
Before 7. I actually think I have to head there, too. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening to Hill News Radio on KSLU. I'm Bobby Baird.
I'm Charlotte Crawford.
And we will see you next week.